Going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl here in Berea. And we're going to kick the show off with a Browns alum, Jamel White, in studio. Jamel, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here today as a part of the Special Olympics Play 60 event that's happening here at the Browns facility in Berea. You said you come to that every year. What is it that you like so much about that event?
Man, I just like seeing the kids have fun, man, because they're doing something that they're not used to doing. You know, they're out there with our guys and with the alumni and with staff that's here at the building, just having fun, man, just cutting it loose. So I enjoy being a part of that. I enjoy just talking to them in general, and, you know, they bring the teachers with them and all the helpers. So it's awesome just to be a part of that world.
Do you still live in Cleveland?
Yeah, I actually live on the east side of Cleveland, so it's awesome.
Where on the east side? I live on the east side.
I live in Concord, Mentor area, so okay. I live in Lee County. So.
Okay, nice. Very nice.
And what are you up to nowadays? Again,
well, I still do a lot of stuff in the community for the Browns, obviously. Then I do heads up for the NFL.
Awesome.
Teaching kids.
Local high schools?
Oh, yeah.
Grade schools?
Yeah, we do it like in – right now we're doing it mostly in the inner city, and then out in Lake County I do it. And then I deal a lot with real estate stuff. So, you know, I
awesome. And I know Chuck Kyle, St. Ignatius head football coach, is a huge advocate of the heads up football program.
Yeah. It's an important thing. Jamel, obviously a running back, a little wide receiver, did some returning as well. Career 9 touchdowns, nearly 1,500 yards on the ground. So you know the running back position, obviously. The Browns have two young guys as well, and they've got, you know, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, Glenn Winston, another one. But what do you think of the two main young backs, the rookies from last season, West and Crow?
I think they're going to be good, man. I mean, they just got some things they need to work on, obviously. You know, when you go from college to being a big man on the field to now you're in the NFL where everybody's a big man, you know, you just got to kind of work on your game a little bit. And, you know, the older they get, you know, they'll do that. So, you know, when I watch them play, you know, I'm always critiquing people. But, you know, I like to see the little different things that they do, but I think they're going to be great.
When you played, did you ever play in a zone blocking scheme?
You know what? When I played in college, we played in a zone blocking scheme, which is awesome for running backs because you just get to pick where you want to go. There's no absolute hole, and all the linemen know that. So the more they push up, you push up. So.
And you pick and then put your foot in the ground and go. One cut and go.
That's it.
And my question for you is what about, again, growing up in the West Coast, being born on the West Coast, attending school out that way as well, what was it about Cleveland, you know, the Browns and this organization that made it special enough for you to want to reside here, raise your children here, and just, you know, and live here, you know, full time?
Oh, man, this is one of the best organizations to be involved in, you know, especially when Mr. Lerner was around. I mean, he made everything possible for a lot of players that didn't have much. You know, I can remember when he was helping me fly the teachers in from South Dakota so I could finish getting my degree. And most owners don't do that. You know, I've been a part of different organizations, and, you know, Cleveland is a place where the fans love the players. I mean, this is a football place. I mean, they have basketball and baseball and all that, but just imagine if the Browns went to a Super Bowl. When we went to the playoffs,
it would go nuts.
Oh, crazy. When we went to the playoffs, it was nuts.
Pandemonium.
You know, oh, it was crazy. I had big banners. You would think we won the Super Bowl, but, you know, there was just something different. And hopefully, you know, with the new organization and new things coming around, you know, they could do that again.
Being around the building, around some of the players, how do you kind of feel about the vibe and what, you know, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine are putting together here?
Oh, I like what they're doing here. You know, they're bringing different genres. Is that a word?
Genres.
Yeah. Yes. They're bringing different people to do different things. And I think they're putting the pieces together. I mean, I've never seen them get out-coached. So that's always a good thing. And when I watch the games, you know, players say, oh, well, we wasn't coached to do that. But here, when you watch the games, it's just like, okay, they were always in every game. So I think they're just a little bit away, but they're making the steps to get there.
Now, you played in the at the old Cleveland Brown Stadium, which is now First Energy Stadium, and Jimmy Haslam, the new owner, has put a significant amount of money in renovating that. Have you had an opportunity to get inside the stadium to see the new renovations?
Oh, yeah.
And how is that compared to when you used to play here?
It's awesome now, man. Like, it makes you mad, to be honest. It makes you jealous because now you see the big boards and stuff, the big TVs. You're just like, really?
You know, you didn't do enough to be able to, you know, have that when you played here?
Yeah, obviously not. Like, I'm just sitting up here like, are you serious? Like, this is awesome. Like, you get internet service. I mean, it's everything that you would want when you go to someplace just to have fun. This is good, and it's good for just fans in general, man, because they could be doing their little – I don't know what they do when it comes to that football stuff. What is that?
Fantasy football.
The fantasy football from the stadium. I mean, it's awesome. So, I mean, he's done a lot just to improve the stadium in general.
It's huge. You got to improve the fan experience. That's what President Alex Shiner and, of course, Vice President of Fan Experience Kevin Griffin, they're trying to do at the stadium. Phase two of those renovations on track. Phase one, obviously, the big boards, the new look, all of that in place already for this season. Something else that's going to be new, though, the uniforms. Back when you played, you guys had orange jerseys, right. And Dante Whitner yesterday tweeting out, and we'll get into his tweets later in the show, but basically 9 possible color combinations for the Browns with these new unis. What do you like about the current unis, and what would you, if you were designing it, what would you like to see tweaks?
Oh, man, you know what? I could just remember they brung out the orange jerseys, and we had just the regular pants, and then they brung out the orange pants, and we had the white. I just like it all, man. Just the color matches for the Browns are awesome. So if you mess that up, you have to mess up big time, you know?
That's like messing up the Penn State uniform, you know, because I think the Cleveland Browns, right, from an NFL standpoint, are, you know, probably the most traditional with no logo on their helmet, a lot like Penn State. I know Bill O'Brien, when he was there at Penn State, put the names on the back, which was like, you know, after the Paterno era and all he had done there, you know, people were up in arms to see any type of markings on a Penn State uniform. But I'm excited because I've been a part of a uniform, you know, kind of overlay with my time with the San Diego Chargers, when we went from the blue helmets to the white helmets, changed the bolt on the pants, sure, you know, changed the blue. So it's going to be an exciting time. And
did you like it when you guys would go back to the powder blues? Was that the player's favorite?
That was the
best,
especially just to hear Chris Berman. You wake up every morning on Sunday just to hear Chris Berman talk about you in the powder blues as the best uniform in all of football.
Yeah. So when you played, and you see now, still there's a lot of the white on white, and now they're going to have an opportunity to kind of to mix that all up. My hope is, I don't know if you remember the Pro Bowl uniforms from 2 years ago, where it was the white with like silver numbers with the orange outline of it. Hayden was wearing them out. If that's what the white uniforms are in that vein, that'd be unbelievable.
Well, that would be cool. I don't know about the silver part though.
I like a little silver in there.
It's just not traditional with the Browns though, man. Like if you throw like a black number on there or something like that, and you just combine that and put a little orange around, that would be fire.
But if you follow the trends, you know, since Nike has taken over deal with Pro Bowl uniforms, with again the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which you spoke about a little briefly,
it's like the Seahawks.
It's like that those edgy the. Our uniforms are going to symbolize where Nike's shoes have been going the last couple of years, which is bright and shiny and funky and third color. So that's like it's not so much silver. Maybe I could see like the gunmetal gray,
which would be
hot mixed in with the brown and orange.
Well, when you look at the Oregon Ducks when they come out, everybody's just looking at their uniforms, and that's what Nike's about, man. Like they flash at first, you'd be like, "Oh, those are terrible," but then when you look at them, you're like, "Wait a minute." Those are bad.
Yeah,
you
know, and it's all the pieces, and I think that this is a well thought out process, but you know, by Alex Shiner and Kevin Griffin and the many, you know, individuals here inside this organization that have not only been working on this for well over a year, but also too the ability to keep it under wraps. Right. Because you walked in here like, "Can I get a glimpse?" And I'm like, "Man, we've been working here. He's been working here for almost 2 years. I've been here for 6 months, and we don't even get a glimpse." So we'll find out about the uniforms when you do.
Right.
And this is what Dante Whitner had to say. We'll just bring it out now because want to get your guys' thoughts on it. So he says, and I quote, this is a series of tweets. "All I can say is that I saw the new jersey in Cleveland. You will be proud. Best jerseys in the league, hands down. 9 different color combos and a bunch of fire symbols. Don't believe me, just watch." And then he said, piggyback on what you said, the Oregon Ducks of the NFL.
Right. So, I mean, I haven't seen them. I'm excited to see.
I'm excited.
So I'm going to see it. And once it comes out, you know, you like a kid right now in a candy store. So it's just like, if it's not fire like that, I'm going to have something to say to Dante.
I think they're going to be.
They have
so
to
9
be.
Different combinations would mean it's got to have 3 jerseys, 3 pants.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's exciting. It's better than what we've had.
Yeah.
I always liked the orange. I love the orange, man. When we brought out them orange jerseys and they put them in our locker, we had no idea we were wearing them. So when they had them in our locker, we was like, what?
Was all orange ever done?
I've never seen all orange. We tried to get them to do all orange.
I like the orange with the white pant, though.
I have a story
about when we went all navy in the old Charger uniforms, and it happened to be while there were fires going on in San Diego. Ironically, we had a game moved from home. We were playing the Miami Dolphins when Junior Seau had retired a Charger and then signed like 3 weeks later with the Miami Dolphins. You know, it was all the hype, but we actually had the game moved from Qualcomm Stadium to Sun Devil Stadium, and we wore all Navy. Navy helmets, Navy jersey, Navy pants, and the Navy socks.
Right.
With white, like the Seahawks, with white shoes, exactly. And we got trounced and Sal bald. And Dean Spano, still owner of the San Diego Chargers, was like, never again. You know, if he had a bad taste in his mouth about the all-Navy, never again will you see the Chargers in all-Navy.
Well, I think orange is one of those colors that, you know, the blend of it. You know, if you put orange on orange, it better be the same.
Yeah.
Orange.
Better look good.
Yeah, because you'd be out there looking like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Looking like a traffic cone.
Yeah, yeah. You look like a mess if you're not right. You know what I mean? Like, I would have liked to see them put like some numbers on the helmets. I mean, they do have the numbers on the helmets in the back, but I think back in the day they had like
on the side.
Like that would be
50s or 60s.
That would be awesome too. Yeah. So, you know.
And I think that's a capability that hopefully the Browns may have to, you know, we would have the wear the same helmet, and actually we would switch out to the white helmet and have the numbers on the side. But I think you could put the numbers on the side for like, you know, an anniversary year, right, or if you're recognizing a championship team and you're wearing, you know, your helmet with the number on the side in honor of that team for that game.
Yeah, like I see like the Pittsburgh, they come out with that garbage yellow.
Those yellow, the prison ones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It looks horrible.
Yeah.
But if you look at it for a while, don't look bad after a
and
while.
And Roethlisberger, throws for 600 yards. Yeah. They didn't look all that bad.
Yeah, so then they just wear them every year now. That's the way they
do. That's what they do. It's getting a little bit of heat from them there. So let me ask you just kind of philosophically about the NFL and the running back position at large. We've seen, you know, DeMarco Murray was the leading rusher, not retained by his team. He ends up in Philly. The year before that, the leading rusher was LeSean McCoy, traded from his team to the Buffalo Bills. And now it looks like Adrian Peterson's either going to be forced to sit out in Minnesota or play somewhere else.
Right.
The last 3 years, the leading rusher in the NFL could all play for a new team in 2015. What do you think that says just about the running back position in general?
I think all three of their situations are different. You know, Adrian Peterson, his situation is completely different than those other two. The other two, they make it seem like it's about money, which nowadays it is about money. You know, you get to a point where you're getting paid too much, but at the same time.
But you got safeties being paid $9, $10 million, and you can't get a running back at $8 million is crazy or want to get them off your roster when they're that good?
Well, your age too, man. Like, they think running backs are old when you get past 25.
Yep.
So once you get past 25, it's like, okay, he's on the downside, even if you ain't had a lot of tread on you, you still on the downside.
And you know, God willing, a running back doesn't have any type of injury.
Right.
Because then not only at 25 are you on your downside, but now simply by having a rolled ankle, he's injury prone, he's 26, he's on the downside of his career, we can't pay him that kind of money, even though, you know, guys can play 5 or 6 years. Play till 30.
Be a wide receiver. I may tell you, be a wide receiver. You're almost better off trying to become a Percy Harvin slot receiver than you are, or a cornerback than you are being a running back.
Right. I mean, running backs, man, they take a lot of pounding. If you think about all the stuff you got to do, I mean, you're going to hit somebody or get hit every play.
Every play.
Yeah. It's just no way around it. If you're a good running back and you want to help your offensive lineman and have them love you, you got to chip guys.
Yeah.
That's just the beast of it. But, you know, the thing is, in order to get where you want to get, you got to kind of do that early in your career and have it out there. But you got to take care of your body, man, because once you get past 25, downside, they say. You on a downside.
Well, also, not only that, is if you are a 3 or 4 year starter taking 250-plus carries as a 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old, you've got, you know, 1,000-plus carries on your belt. And then the age kicks in, and then also too on top of that to compound it, maybe you missed a few games with a calf strain or a pulled hammy, you know, or God willing, you know, you tear an ACL, you're essentially done in some of those people's eyes. And I think also too is, I like your perspective on the NFL veteran combine. You know, Felix Jones, you know, lost four tenths of a second in his 40. Michael Bush.
They
was
said
a
those
4-9.
Times were bad though.
They
the
were
electronic
horrible.
Timing.
Yeah.
They said it was something was
they
with
were
the
horrible.
Timing.
I would. Simply by seeing them.
Yeah, 4.9. Yeah. Michael Bush, maybe, but not Felix.
No, Felix ran like a 4.85. I'm like, dude, I run a 4.85.
Yeah.
You know,
come on.
Like, come on.
We'll get you out there.
You know, it's a lot different now, too, though. You know what I mean? From when I was playing to now, the game's changed so much to the point when it comes to money, players, the guarantees of money now. Before, you didn't even hear about players getting guaranteed anything. The only thing that's guaranteed was your signing bonus. That's about it.
Right.
But now they're putting guaranteed
in
your salary.
So it's like, with all the trades that happened during the offseason, a lot of those guys was guaranteed a lot of money. So now that, you know, in their salary cap, they're like, man, we can't afford to pay.
Michael Johnson of the now Cincinnati Bengals from Tampa Bay, he's making more money from Tampa Bay while participating as a Cincinnati Bengal.
Right. So the Bengals lost Michael Johnson in free agency last year to Tampa. They get a third round pick in the draft this year as a compensatory pick for Michael Johnson because those come the year later. And now he's back on their team. So basically they loaned Johnson to Tampa Bay for a year for for a third round pick, got him back and are paying him less money.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And good, great for Johnson. While they're paying him $7 million.
Yeah. I mean, he's double dipping pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
But nowadays, I mean, that's what it is.
Did you have an opportunity to double dip in your career?
No.
I did not either. But didn't you want to?
You want to. You would love to have guaranteed.
Well, and that's why they put all that offset language in there now to try to minimize all the double dipping. I got to ask you about your time in Canada. What did you think? Because one of our big callers is Cam from Canada.
Okay.
And he brings it. And some people have accused him of being Jimmy Haslam with a Canadian accent because he's very pro Browns. But what was your time up north of the border like?
It was awesome, man. Like, being
Toronto's a fun city.
I mean, and Toronto is awesome. I mean, everybody, when I went there, everybody was like, oh, it's less expensive than the States. I'm just like, you are lying.
Yeah, it is not.
Oh my God. Like, you go up there, like, I can remember my family came up to watch me playing the game, and for them to go to Wendy's, it was like $40, and it was only three of them. I'm like, is this real?
Yeah,
the gas out there, crazy, because they go by the liter, not by the gallon. So a liter out there was $1.95, and it takes 4 gallons to, I mean, 4 liters,
to make a gallon.
So you just sit up there like, wait a minute,
$8 a gallon.
Yeah,
this is not good. Yeah.
So man, I loved it out there, but I was great to come back.
The duty free is the only thing I would enjoy about Canada.
Yeah.
When I come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Duty free.
Stop and get all that stuff. Jamil, thanks so much for stopping by with us. Thanks for participating in the Special Olympics Play 60 event today, and for staying involved here in the community. And hopefully we'll see you around Cleveland and back in the Dog Bowl soon.
Oh, no problem, my man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Jamil White, former Browns running back, here today. We'll also have Billy Wynn coming up on the show. Buck Wild in town as well for the Play 60 event happening in the Fieldhouse here in Berea. 216-578-0850. Let's get your thoughts on Dante Whitner's comments about the uniform. Also, we got some news from Pro Football Talk about the Browns and Sam Bradford. We'll get that to you when we return here on CBD.